We are back, everybody. Just want to give a quick shout out to the John Barnett Cancer Fundraiser going on June 8th at BAM Arena. We just had the Ohio State Championships out there. Great venue. It's a hockey arena, but one side is just like a roller, or there's just no ice on it, so they just have cornhole boards down. Good food, good beer prices. So join out on June 8th at BAM Arena for a great cause for John Barnett and family. Just raising some funds. So
saw that they post up like jerseys and stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah, they got all kinds of stuff coming. Yeah,
designs are nice.
So yeah, I mean, I'm super excited. I'll be in attendance most likely. I don't think Sean can make it. You'll be with your chitlins.
Disney World,
Disney Magic. But that's okay. I'll head out there and see what's up. And then without further ado, of course, this thing's brought to us by Dragon Bags. Can't say enough about them. I converted several people this weekend to throwing Dragon Bags because the artwork is phenomenal. They have great bags for all types of throwers. I even sold a set out of my own bag because somebody liked them so much. So if you want to jump on the hype train, head over to dragonbags.com. Drop code BIGASP12 at checkout to save yourself some money on some great bags. And I know they just launched the Shot Kings Cornhole Power Dragons, and you probably missed it.
I think they're gone.
They're gone. Yeah. So if you missed out on it, sucks to suck, but wait for the next drop. You won't be disappointed.
I had somebody reach out to me on Reddit.
Yeah.
So like every once in a while, like I follow the cornhole and I'll post stuff every once in a while. I got a little annoyed because like I'd post episodes, like our link to our episodes. And then like the moderator of the page like messaged me like, hey, like this is not for like promotion of like products and stuff like that. I'm like, it's a cornhole podcast. This is a cornhole forum page. Like what the fuck?
You can't post.
So like
this.
I just comment on things every once in a while. I'm like, whatever. I don't fucking need you, loser.
Yeah.
If you listen to the show, you're a fucking loser for telling me that in the first place. But anyways, so he was asking for a variation. He said he liked Viper R's. He liked the materials, but he just felt like they just became too loose for him.
Yeah.
So I just recommended, didn't give our discount code or anything. I'm like, hey, if you're looking for this, you're basically describing a power dragon, slightly smaller template, maybe a little bit fuller, keeps its shape, but performs really well. So he just messaged me back like I came back to find this. He's like, I went and actually bought a set of power dragons. He's like, they're my go-to. He's like, I've since bought several sets. He's like, so thank you for the recommendation. So go on Reddit. I'm sure you can find the stream. Somewhere.
Exactly. So beautiful, beautifully done there, Sean. Way to convert another one.
Hey, doing God's work.
Cornhole it. Big ass cornhole.
We hope you throw it straight. And nothing but four baggers from here on out.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Sean and Dane are here as always. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Just another day, another dollar.
Caitlin Clark just got drafted number one overall.
She did, yeah. Shocker. Wow. I didn't put money on it.
What, do you think it's going to change the WNBA at all?
Not a bit.
I really don't think it's going. I think what she did for women's sports in general was awesome, especially like the amount of people that were clearly interested. I'll be interested to see how many of those Caitlin Clark like diehard fans, we'll put in quotes, are going to follow her over to the WNBA.
Yeah, I mean,
and if it'll translate into immediate success. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
I would be surprised to see it. I wouldn't mind to see it, but it's just I don't know. The WNBA's product is it's a little hard to follow
sometimes.
Yeah, it's just not.
But yeah. All right, so we have a busy episode week, as always, man. As always, like you do every single week. Let the folks know what we're sipping on tonight in our favorite segment called "What You Drinking."
Ha ha! What you drinking?
Well, Sean, it smells like green spirit. It's the Green Grunge IPA from Fatheads Brewing. I'm actually kind of impressed. Fatheads has been pumping out some IPAs recently, like getting into the serious turnover game.
And they were like for a long time Headhunter. Like this is our award-winning beer. Yeah, like we're Headhunter.
No, they're starting to explore other things. Yeah. And this Green Grunge IPA, man, it's a good one. It's hoppy, but not like overbearingly hoppy. Only 6.5%.
Does it smell like green spirit?
It does.
Okay.
It does smell like green spirit. Sweet. It's a good one. I just saw like it's a coolish can, so I figured I'd pick it up. And Fatheads with another good beer.
Hell yeah.
Gotta love it.
All right, so we have another dose of audio gold today. The national finals are quickly approaching, so we're going to break down our thoughts and the matchups and let you know, like, hey, where we would put money on.
Yeah.
All right. We have bags review. Up today are a series of bag by Grayfin Cornhole. And then we have dramatic readings. And then fresh off the Masters, we're going to do our best to try to compare some pro golfers to pro cornhole players off the top of the head.
I like it.
All right.
Why not?
It's something me and you've talked about behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I feel like we wanted to do it last week leading into it.
I think we just ran out of
like
time.
We've watched so many golfers this week. I feel like now it's a little fresher in my head on like
and
what
now
we could do.
Know.
Yeah. And then we're going to be joined by the legend, the former child cornhole phenom, the man known as DK, Mr. Derek King. All right. But before we get into all that, we bring in what's going on in our cornhole lives in a segment we call In and Around the Hole.
Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
If you are in the market for a new set of bags, we cannot recommend Black Sheep Baggers enough. We just got their newest series. I don't know exactly when it's dropping, but it's called the Gotti, and it is money. If you're a Hyper Carpet fan, if you're a Costello X fan, you're looking for something just a little bit different. It looks like they went with a slightly bigger template for this bag.
Okay.
Just first glance. Just got them in yesterday or 2 days ago. But feel very nice fresh out of the bag.
Heck
so
yeah.
So I'm excited to review those in the next week or two, but be on the lookout for that. So if you're in the market for a new bag, they really truly have a type of bag for every type of thrower. Right? They have everything that you're going to look for speed-wise, feel-wise in your hands. And we've been a fan of them forever. And we love for what they stand for. So if you've always felt like a little bit of an outsider, well, Black Sheep Baggers is your home. So BlackSheepBaggers.com. Use code BIGASP and you'll save yourself some money. So again, go to BlackSheepBaggers.com. That's going to be code BIGASP.
Well done.
Oh, yeah. So how was your weekend?
It was good. I played cornhole.
Yeah.
Look at that. Made my way out to the Ohio State Championships. Played in the blind draw on Friday and singles on Saturday. Nice. So the blind draw, they threw me into the competitive intermediate. I did not ask to be in there. I figured
it was a make-a-wish thing.
So yeah, exactly. But had got paired with a good gentleman. Never met him before that day, but Chuck Rice.
What a great name!
Exactly. Like what a cornhole name.
Yeah, is that not like the one of the most appropriate names ever?
Like he was. It was awesome. I'm like, yeah, Chuck Rice.
Like Berkeley Pear just sounds like it belongs in a country club.
Yes.
Chuck Rice. It belongs as a fucking cornhole professional.
If only his last name was Corn, it could be Chuck Corn.
Oh, man.
Like, but hey,
damn it.
Chuck and Rice is pretty close to what's inside those bags anyways. He was a intermediate level, like really undersold his game to me, but he was throwing a set of alien cornhole bags. I'm blanking on the name, but it had, it was like a Surefire derivative.
Okay.
And I'm like, hey, are these holding up for you right now? Why don't we throw the Power Dragons? And guess what? They're just going to slide a little bit more up the board for you.
Okay.
And watch this intermediate player proceed to start throwing well over sevens with me. And we ended up having a nice little run. I think we went 4-2. Nice. I had two games against the same guy that I was throwing against over a 10-5. Just lit it up. And even he was just like, there's nothing I could do against you. And I have
said you found a roll bag,
dude. It was just something about the floor there was just hard enough that like a normal bag for me was just getting this nice little like just little butter cut roll like a la Jeremiah Ellis, just kind of just barely tumbling over. Wow. I was like, wow, okay, like
something about Ohio,
not too bad. So yeah, that was Friday night, and then all of a sudden Saturday happened, and my bag wouldn't do any of that. It was just played in the open level for doubles because I was really there to be on the mic and stuff. So I'm all right, low key, I wanted to get paired against like Jeremiah, thinking I was going to be the lowest rated.
Oh, that would make
person
sense.
Person at open. Yeah, so I'm like, man, maybe I can get some content, like go live. But no, I didn't have the chance. Faced two guys that weren't pros.
Okay.
And they both beat me, but I still threw decent. Neither one of them was like a crazy blowout.
Okay.
Hit some good shots and I was very happy with how I threw. It's just, you know, you could just tell when you don't throw that often.
Yeah. You get out just of like the competitive mindset a little bit.
But there's what I did differently this time was anytime that like my opponent screwed up, I usually made them like make it hurt, which I rarely do.
Yeah. That's big.
So I was like, if they missed their first bag, like I was four bagging consistently.
I would say that's probably the biggest difference between intermediate, competitive, advanced, and open.
Yeah.
Is that when you get an opportunity to score, you better take it.
Exactly.
Because sometimes those opportunities aren't coming every round. You know what I mean? So you really got to take them when you can get them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So where it's competitive, intermediate, you can get it. You're going to get away with it. Cause more, if you're throwing well, more often than not, like you're going to get a lot more opportunities to score points and punches.
Yeah. But, again, all in all, happy with how I threw, but, if you didn't hear it, I highly recommend going back and finding Friday's late night coverage of the blind draw.
Okay.
Basically, Cleveland Cornhole just like told me free reign, let it rip.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to this. Okay.
Dude, it was, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but it was hilarious.
You had a little fun?
Dude, okay. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
So yeah, had some fun on the mics on Friday. Saturday, I just did like straight up commentary for as much as I could. Until I literally couldn't watch cornhole anymore. So I got through all of the open singles, all of the advanced singles, and then like during competitive, I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, it was a Jeremiah Ellis weekend. One singles, one doubles. Shout out to Quinn and Chad for winning the Armed Forces at the state championship. I think this is their third straight year winning it together. So yeah, I mean, it was a fun experience. Great seeing everyone out there.
I already saw people talking about Ellis's doubles win as being like his Jordan flu game.
That's very true. So the man, after his victory in singles, apparently went back to the hotel and had a pretty nasty spill poolside. Feet slipped out from underneath him, smacked his head pretty good, got 13 staples, showed up the next morning at 10 a.m. to go and run doubles with Noel Manzo.
And they did just that?
They ran the gambit and took it home. So
it looked like a lot of like some of the other like Trey and Adam, they were at the Triple Crown event.
Yeah, they're at Triple Crown.
Yeah, so like it does suck that like when your state championships or like a big regional event happens like at the same time as another tournament, because it does take away from
But we still had like Cody Henderson. He was throwing very well.
I love seeing that coming off of National One.
Yes.
Just, it makes me think that like, okay, he still has it to be a top 20 player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was throwing very, very well. And then, I mean, Ryan Tucker, I haven't gotten to see a whole bunch of him throw, but man, he's pretty solid too.
I've gotten firsthand experience getting a butt fucking. So.
Yeah. He's really solid,
by the way, or no Diddy. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. No Diddy.
I'm sorry. No Diddy.
Yeah, all in all, like I'm trying to think of the other people out there. Like, love to see Kyle Petering. He's an Ohio native now, no longer living in Pennsylvania.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he moved to Dayton like 2 weeks ago.
All right, so he's Kyle, like, oh, welcome,
now,
buddy.
He's like, now I'm going to the Ohio State Championships.
All right. All right.
So yeah, it was always good to see him. Like all in all, just
the Cleveland Cornhole crew and
the regulars. I will shout out, you know, the Dennises Kevin Fairchild and Kevin Allen, like they're always hospitable for us. And we just have a good time with them.
Sure, Lawan was up there.
Yeah, we all played a match against each other. It was me and Dennis Fortney against Kevin Fairchild and Kevin Allen. So the Kevins we lost. We went 0-2 against them of three.
Who did you throw against?
I threw against Kevin.
Okay.
Kevin Allen.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just couldn't quite get it. I got him a couple times.
So Kevin Allen, he still gets out of the house now. He's got three kids.
He does. Yeah, he does. They were some of them came up.
Okay.
I think they were all three were up there on Friday night or something. But yeah, always great seeing those boys. So well ran tournament, Ohio State Championships. Exceeded expectations. The latest night they were there was actually Friday for the blind draw,
which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I was home before 8:30 on Saturday with singles day,
That's great.
Sunday. I'm sure people were home like on the road by 7.
That's what's nice when you can split them up over days.
If you have a whole weekend, and especially something of that caliber, yeah. I understand the split days for regionals being tough, but as long as you do it smart with like competitive and open, like splitting it up correctly, it's really not an issue. But the Ohio State Championships ran smooth. It was a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. So this weekend, my wife and I, for like to kind of like celebrate our 10th anniversary, we went away to Hocking Hills for the weekend. I'd never been there before.
Yeah.
I think it definitely lived up to the hype. I mean, the place we stayed at was ridiculous.
They have some sweet cabins out there.
Yeah. I mean, it was like to the point like where we opened the door, I'm like, how much was this place again?
You guys just Airbnb it?
No, it was like through a company out there that, you know, has a bunch of cabins and stuff. But it was it was pretty cool. I'm happy. Sounds weird. I'm happy it rained all day Friday, because then Saturday when we went to go like see like all the like the traditional Hocking Hills places, at least the falls like had water with them.
Yeah.
Because like some of the like the people that work there, like, oh, you know, like if you guys would have come last weekend, like these were all dry. I'm like, if I would have hiked my fat ass around to see these things and there's no water falling down, I would have been pretty pissed.
Did you wear your boots though?
I did. Mm. Wore my wee little boots.
You got your wee little boots, your muddins.
So I caught a little bit of the live stream. I did, however, I made my wife very aware that when she booked this, that this was Masters Week. And that is the one tournament a year, like one sporting event a year that I dedicate, like I want to watch as much as I can.
Yeah, I mean, I have my phone propped up.
The fact that I wasn't at work, mm-hmm. so it was literally on in the background all weekend. She's very cool about it, which helped. And she even like tolerated me being a nerd and like talking about guys, like, and pretended like she cared for like a half a second. Oh, yeah. And then she's like, I'm going to read a book. I'm like, okay. Sweet.
I'll talk to myself.
Yeah, exactly. But I did catch some of the commentary. I got such like the bug to golf, right? When you watch it, like all you want to do is go out.
Yes.
So I took my daughter golfing, Nora, for the first time yesterday.
I'm so jealous. I was at the Cavs game instead of enjoying a nice day outside.
So we drove home from Hocking Hills. I threw out to my wife, I'm like, hey, you think Nora would want to golf with me today? And she's like, I'm sure she would. So like I just took that as a, hey, you can go golfing. So I like jumped on the phone, made a tee time.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, so like you guys are like going like real golf. I'm like, yeah. Like that's why.
Why
I
not?
So yeah, I'm taking one of the kids. I'm taking half the, we're good.
Half
right?
the half the labor.
So her favorite part, I clearly was just driving the cart. I let her chip and putt a little bit around the greens, but she's not ready for that. But she was like, I'm like, do you have fun? She's like, I want to go back and drive the cart. I'm like, sweet. You tell mom that you want to go golfing with dad. Next time it's nice outside, I'll take you.
I'm telling you, I'm going to bring the bucket golf over.
Yeah.
And we'll let her practice with that.
It's It was, we had fun. But other than that, I have not played a competitive match. I'm trying to remember the last one I actually played. I don't even think you can really count this one, but we played Wally and Jake.
Yeah.
I think that was the last time I threw against other people in like something that would somewhat matter.
It didn't even matter.
No, it didn't. And that was was that in January?
I think so, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm on a dry spell here. So I'm hoping that whenever the May regional is in for Cleveland, Cornhole, I'll actually be home this time.
You're also about to get like flyers and all the outdoor stuff happening. It's much easier to play in the summertime out here because it's blind draws. Well,
we are going out. We are going to Arizona.
We are.
So again, those of you that are in the Arizona area to listen to the show, we're going to be out there the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, mm-hmm. and then we're flying home the 6th, that Monday. So the plan is at least for us to be there Cinco de Mayo. I think they're planning on having some sort of cornhole tournament. I think we're going to try to plan on recording an episode there, to shoot some video. I've heard the facility is unreal.
But
if you don't follow us on YouTube yet, you should, because this is going to kind of kick off we're going to start putting out like other content, not just cornhole stuff. So this is kind of a first step into like, we're going out there and we're playing some of the best public courses in Arizona. So we're going to we're not ready for like full length videos and stuff, but
we'll have our videos out
We're going to have plenty of videos. So we're going to bust out some other content. So just more fun stuff to come.
I low key been practicing with a TrackMan app. Ooh. I did it at the driving range.
Yeah.
It was about like 45% accurate. I think I need your gimbal.
Oh, okay.
It needs to stay steady.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. We're going to have it. Yeah. So
I think I'll need to toy around with it a little bit more. But I think
the nice thing is that the gimbal allows you can charge it while it's working too, so which will be very helpful. But no, I'm excited.
I think what would be even funnier is if we just drew the lines ourselves. Like we'll just duff a drive, but we'll just like show a line, like going like 400 yards, like right the down the middle. Tracer. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. We officially announced on Thursday, I know those of you that listen to the show, we've been talking about, but we officially announced it to the world, first annual Big Ass Open, September 21st.
Thank you
everyone that shared the post, liked it. Like that kind of stuff goes a long way.
Really does.
We're super excited. Like I can't wait. Registration is going to open up. I think it was it June 10th or 11th?
Yeah, I think it was, one of those, 10th or 11th.
Let me look.
Getting all the ducks in the row.
Monday, June 10th. Registration is going to open. We're going to have a link. It's going to go take you to a website, and we're just going to require one team member to come on and put it on. You're going to enter your email address, and then from there we'll figure.
Yeah. And if you're interested in sponsoring, please reach out. We do have a full sponsorship deck that we are willing to send you, or it's already been sent to you, and we're just, waiting to hear back again. There's no pressure. We're just trying to put on a really fun tournament, like get back to the roots of cornhole, which was just
it's
like
gonna be a whole weekend
kicking it with your friends and just having a great weekend. Yeah, and there's gonna be surrounding cornhole the entire time.
I mean, Friday night there'll be for sure a tournament. I could probably be persuaded to call off work on Friday and go golfing in the morning.
Fiddlesticks.
So if you're an out-of-town guest and you're considering coming in and you like golf and cornhole, this is literally the weekend for you.
Yes.
So head on out to the Cleveland area. It's in Independence, Ohio. We've been getting that question a lot. It's just 15 minutes from the Cleveland airport.
Yeah, you can literally stay next to the airport and be there in 15. You can stay downtown and be there in 15.
And it's all the very easy to get there. And the cornhole venue that we are talking about, the indoor cornhole venue. So this is a rain or shine event.
Yes.
The place that they'll hold the blind draws and everything is 10 minutes, not even up the road.
Just down the road.
Exit on the highway.
And we have contingencies in place. So like everything's going to happen. Hey,
it's going
to
we'll be
good to go. It's just going to be, if your heart's in the cornhole realm, there will be plenty of cornhole to be had. Or if you're tired of cornhole and you want to get out and golf with some normies, come out and golf. Let's do it.
Agreed. Okay, so we have the ACL kickoff battle finals and the first pro shootout finals.
So this is our first time that we've ever had the luxury of like
preparing
and mulling over for 2 weeks. I don't know if I like it because I kept going back and forth so many times.
Oh, it's way easier playing Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, afterwards, like, well, you know, clearly I would have. You know what I mean? So this is it. I hate the fact that we don't see it that day and we do have to wait, but like it does for like content wise,
it is
it's
nice.
Fucking great.
Yeah,
so thank you
very
much.
Because it's just free yes. Another week for us to talk about.
So in the for singles finals. All right. So we'll do singles and doubles and then we'll go to pro shootout after that. But for singles, we have Jeremiah Ellis versus Adam Hissner and you have Braden Wilson and Gavin Cano. Now the DraftKings sportsbook line did open up this. They did drop the lines today and you have Jeremiah Ellis. Surprise, surprise is the favorite. He's at +115. Then you have Gavin Cano coming in at +190. And then Adam Hissner at +300. Now, what has not been confirmed 100% with DraftKings specifically is what happens if Braden Wilson wins the whole freaking thing. Is DraftKings just going to then collect that money? Or are they going to then pay out second place? If it's the latter, if they're going to pay out whoever he would theoretically beat in the finals, then it really makes zero sense in singles to put money on Gavin.
Yeah, no, I agree that with that logic because, again, you're kind of handcuffing yourself to that one person.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, because theoretically, if Braden wins, then whoever wins the other one's going to win the bet. Mm-hmm. So, in terms of that, now I think very much that Gavin could play spoiler this entire weekend for the coming out of Jeremiah Ellis and what everyone is already proclaiming him as the number one, me included, who was on my power ranking. I think that in terms of odds, I think that they got it right. I think that those two should be the favorite. I think +300, Adam Hissner is interesting, but he's got Ellis that first round. It's really tough. But don't be afraid to put money on Adam Hissner. He's a gamer. He's a big time guy. But Jeremiah has been on another level recently.
He has, but like, does it change your mind at all that it's like it's one game?
No.
With Jeremiah between him and Adam?
No, it doesn't. Only because like it's been a long time. It's been since the first pro shootout that we've seen Adam Hissner really make a really good run.
Yeah.
In singles. Jeremiah's been dominating, and he's beaten Adam before.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a match. Yes. Let's say Adam faces Braden. I think you automatically give the little nod to Adam just because of experience level.
Yeah, I think so.
And again, one game, like, it's a lot of pressure stepping up on there now. I do believe that Jeremiah knows how to handle it. He's faced Adam a billion times, so they know what they're getting themselves into. On the flip side, yeah, you're saying like it's hard to place that bet on Gavin. But I had him as my number one overall.
I know you do. I know.
And yeah, it's hard for me to not bet on him for this.
So if we're talking just the betting world, I already have Jeremiah Ellis with better odds than +115.
That's true.
As an outright winner. So I might take a shot on Hissner. Mm-hmm. I might take a shot at Gavin.
Yeah,
I haven't quite decided yet.
Bit, yeah.
But if I'm following my own strategy, then it would make more sense to put some money down on Hissner.
Yeah.
+300 is looking nice. But I do expect it to be Ellis versus Cano in the finals. And then from there, man, if you're really talking, like, I'll take the plus money with Kano.
Dude, honestly, like, me as a cornhole fan, I want that to happen, and I want to see an epic battle.
Yeah, well, yes.
Like, I really do think that they have the chops to put on just a game that will go down in history.
They do, and they play a very similar game, and they're clearly the two that are throwing the best in the country right now.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, as, like, cornhole content people, like, yeah, I think that we all want to see that. We all make it easy for us. Who's number one? Who's number one? Yeah, who's one and who's two?
Outright, finally, you guys just right can off show the rip, right just away. Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, just make us look smart. So if Jeremiah wins the whole thing, I'll look smart. If Gavin wins, you'll look smart.
And if neither one of them move on, then...
And we're looking dumb.
I'll probably
win some money then.
Yeah, I'll look the dumbest, though, because I think you've still put Hissner in your top 10.
I did.
I didn't.
All right, so in doubles. Doubles, we have Smith and Wiedenfeld are facing off against Ryan and Walker, and then we have Smith and Richards going against Kano and Hamilton. This one's super interesting because they have Smith and Richards at plus 145, and then you have Kano and Hamilton at plus 230. I thought
is
it would
have
been
because they only have to is it because of the name that they have to face?
I think so, and I think because if you're taking things in consideration, like, Smith and Richards is my number one team.
Yes.
I just thought it should have been a little bit closer, the lines for those two. I think it should be closer to a toss up. So if I'm putting money down on this, I'm probably going to take a shot with Kano and Hamilton. If you're asking me who I think is going to win, I mean, if you look at my power rankings, like, I have Smith and Richards, and until another team proves me wrong, like, they're going to be that team for me going in. But for money wise, I'm going to have some money down on Kano and Hamilton.
Yeah. No, I don't know. That's a hard one to bet on in my mind. Cause do you go with the household name or do you go with the guys that have been performing consistently leading up to it?
I think a lot of this goes down to, we all know how talented Fisher Hamilton can be,
yeah,
but we also showed us last time that he's susceptible to giving up big rounds. And I'm going to be interested to see who throws against who. And I think that if Fisher can avoid giving up the big round, I think they're a very, very tough out. And again, we've seen Mark Richards, right? He's still a phenomenal player. Obviously still top 10, right? He's number four in my power rankings, but he hasn't looked quite as sharp. You made a good point earlier. He kind of got off to the same start last year. He wasn't lighting up everyone on fire that first national. And then, like, national twos were like, oh, why do we doubt it? Like, we're all dumb. Like, of course
it's Mark Richards.
Yeah. Come on, man. So which one are we going to see? I tend to think it's a great thing for Mark that it wasn't that he has his 2 weeks off.
He's a prep guy.
100%.
And he's going to, you know, that he's just been dialing in this whole time. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be hard to bet against him, but.
Or is this a time that we start to see when these guys get to this certain age in their life? Like, he just got engaged. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what else is going on in their life?
Does
you know what I mean?
Like, that's stuff. To
yeah.
It?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it does change. But again, Smith and Richards, my number one team. If I gun to my head, who do I think is going to win? I'm going to say Smith and Richards. And if you're asking me who I'm putting money down on, Kano and Hamilton. I'm more of a big return guy.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, Ryan and Walker, it makes zero sense to put money on them.
Yeah.
You can't bet on Smith and Wiedenfeld because Wiedenfeld's only 17. So you can't bet on a junior. So if they end up winning the whole thing, theoretically, then you're going to have the winner of Kano Hamilton, Tony Smith, in terms for how DraftKings might look at it. That might be the winner. Now, I'm not saying that it's what they do. I have not had that confirmed. I've sent emails to DraftKings. Zero motherfucking response. Yeah,
this is just our speculation and what from other people have told us is how it's going to work. So
if that's the case, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
But if we're being honest, though, I think that's – I like Smith and Wiedenfeld anyways. I think that leaving the last national, they looked like the top team. They looked like the hottest team. Does that translate over? I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I really do because I think that they're a very talented team. It also depends on board conditions. If the boards are super tacky, that plays right into Walker.
Yeah, and Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love that dirty game.
They do. So, I think in the finals, again, gun to my head, who do I have to pick? I think we'll see Richards and Smith going against Smith and Wiedenfeld. Again, I'm going to keep Smith and Richards there until someone knocks them off.
Yeah, no. I think I got to agree with you to a point, but I'm hedging my bets and putting money on both of them.
Okay.
Have to.
I get it. All right. If we're going to the pro shootout, all right, pro shootout was is always interesting because it's round limited. So certain individuals tend to, historically, the last 3 years have done very well in it. We said in our preview episode, the one right before the national, we said, like, if you're putting money down on somebody in the pro shootout, it better be Eric Davis or you're dumb.
Yeah.
So he made us look a little bit smart. So in singles, we have, let me pull this up real fast. We have Jeremiah Ellis is the favorite.
Yeah.
Right, he's plus 125. You have Eric Davis at plus 200. Tony Smith at plus 250. And then Ian Cripps, still under 18. You cannot put money down on it. Now, interesting. I think that we all would have liked, realistically, to see Smith and Ellis play, maybe have the possibility of that in the of finals. The
championship.
We're not going to have that. They face in the first round. All right. Yeah. So that's a tough one. And then you have Eric Davis versus Ian Cripps. I'm thinking, is round limited. This is Eric Davis' specialty. I like him getting past Ian. Now, again, Ian has been blowing lights out, but Eric Davis just this round limited thing, and he's been on the broadcast so many times.
Yeah.
He's already won the pro shootout before, you know what I mean, like in doubles. So I feel like been there, done that. I think Eric Davis is maybe got a little chip on his shoulder. Maybe we all were not talking about him.
Or he just knows, like, hey, I just win these, and that's my money. Like everything else, and I don't know.
If he
need
wins this one,
about.
He doesn't have to worry about the rest of the year. Win just this first one. It's a really nice feeling. But historically speaking, we've seen in the past the winner of the first pro shootout is typically like a bigger name.
Yeah.
Right. So I would imagine it's going to be Smith or Ellis. But again, you really can't count out Davis at all. I have money on him. Follow my own advice. So I'm secretly hoping go Eric Davis kind of thing. But I'm excited to watch the Smith and Ellis match. I don't know if they're all getting played on the same day. I don't think they are, because then you start worrying a little bit about, you know, is Ellis going to get burned out? You know what I mean? Like,
dude, I again, it's only round limited, though. Throw an entire weekend again. That's the true. Week before he's going to play in this stuff, he does not care. He's That's a machine point. Right now.
All right, and then so moving over to doubles in the pro shootout, you have Eric Davis and Matthew Sorrells. They're opening up at plus 130. You have Landis and Scheibner, or Shibby as we call him, plus 180. And then you have Hunter Thorson and Carson Getty at plus 300. Now, Thorson and Getty are facing off against Frisch and Cameron, two juniors. Again, you can't bet on them. So to me, it makes zero sense to even consider putting money on them.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. Because I think that Frisch and Cameron are going to win anyways. So I think that they move on anyway. So then you're really just banking on who's going to win in the battle between Eric Davis, Matthew Sorrells, or Landis and Scheibner. I love Shibby and Landis. I've said this 1,000 times, but I think that Davis and Sorrells have been there, done that on the broadcast. I think that Sorrells has shined previously on broadcasts. And I think that this is just another coming out party for, like, as a reminder, like, hey, this is a team that we all need to fucking pay attention to this year. Because they're gonna make some noise.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'll be the first to eat crow on Sorrells. I didn't know how he was gonna come out after taking.
Well, we had heard he was throwing well.
Yeah, I knew he. Like,
he did really well in the pro qualifier last year. You know what I mean? But kind of basically breezed through it. But yeah, picked right up. And again, they're just smart players, and they counteract each other well. Because you have Sorrells is basically just returning bags to Davis.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try to stroke. He has a good airmail. He's not a cut. I mean, he can do all the shots, but he's more of a, I'm just going to pour bags in the hole, airmail if I have to, give the four bags back to Eric Davis, get us one round of six, and we're just going to ride this thing out.
Yeah, for sure.
And just play smart. So I think that they're going to be tough. I mean, they have the opening odds correct, I think, in this one. But again, Landis and Scheibner, if they get through this first game, I think it could be very exciting.
Yeah, I agree too. And it just sucks because, like, that's the matchup I would want to see in the championship, same as singles. I did want to touch, though, you skipped over women's doubles.
I wasn't getting to it. They just didn't have lines on it, so I was just getting to the ones with lines. Women's doubles is Deb Odom and Bella going against Sarah Cassidy and Elizabeth Tennyson. Who do you like in this match?
I mean,
your head or heart? Don't go with your heart right now. Who's your head telling you? Is it the same?
Yeah, I think it is, actually, man. Okay. Bella's been throwing very, very well in, like, the open series and stuff leading up to this. And Debbie Odom has gotten it done on the stage before. I feel like Cassidy has maybe had some question marks on the main stage.
So is Tennyson.
And so is Tennyson. So I'm going to go with Deb and Bella.
I love Deb Odom.
Yeah.
We've had her on the show twice now. She's like literally one of my favorite pros. All right. Mm-hmm. Bella is immensely talented. We know this. One of the best junior players and best female players. Before she left last year, people forget how well she was doing in pro singles.
Highest rated female.
So she's across a stud. The board. We know this. Like, she's a phenomenal player. I think this is Sarah Cassidy's time. She typically shines in female only events.
And honestly, like, I don't mind that. I've always wanted her to be.
She beat Cheyenne.
Yeah.
Right. And National One. That's a big step.
It really is.
It's a mental puff your chest out. Like, hey, like maybe we've said it for years. Sarah, who is number two? There's Cheyenne Boobenheim is way up top, right? Yeah. Who's number two? Like every time we think, is it Cameron Belvin? Like she'll be great. And then she falls back a little bit. Is it Kaylee Hunter last year? Of course it's going to be Kaylee Hunter, right? Yeah. No, she had a shitty season last year.
Came out flat, yeah.
Sarah Cassidy, same thing. If it's not a women's event, she's not showing up. So like that second spot's there. And then her partner, Elizabeth Tennyson, might be the second best woman female player in the league.
Yeah.
Like she's really, really good. So they're both on their game. They're both able. And Sarah Cassidy, I think, is going to have a calming presence. She's been there, done that on the main stage. Before she's won the women's events in doubles before. Typically it's Cheyenne on the other side, so she can. But is she going to be okay being the 1A? I think so. So I actually in this match I like Cassidy and Tennyson to win it.
We'll butt heads.
We will,
because I know you're saying like, oh, it's like Cassidy number two. I think Bella showed last year that it's her
100%,
and I think she's continuing that. So that's why I'm giving them the nod.
Again, if they win,
plus they're familiar with each other.
It's not like I'm mad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying if you're asking me to predict who I think is going to win, just based on what I'm seeing, I think Cassidy and Tennyson are going to take it.
Fair enough, Sean. We'll see. Right. Maybe we'll have side bets ourselves on that one.
Hell yeah. Do you want to do the bag review first and then we'll get into some of the other talk?
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's do the bag review.
And it's not just making them smaller. They completely reshape them. They make them more supple and symmetrical.
I got to catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
And this bag review is brought to you by Gnarly Bags. If you are in the market for a new set of boards, something pro level, you're looking for a consistent play, but with awesome designs and printing on it, look no further than Gnarly. If you go to gnarlybags.com, you can use our code BIGASP and you yourself can have a shiny new set of pro level cornhole boards, but for 10% off. So go to gnarlybags.com, grab your boards today, and use code BIGASP to save yourself some money. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is one of those companies that when I was going through for the best of the bags that I wasn't very familiar with, and I reached out to them. I'm like, hey, we've never reviewed your stuff, but some people have mentioned your cornhole bags, and I would like to include you in the contest. What's your best-selling bag? So he told me, included him in the contest, and then arrived at our doorstep are the Greyfin Hammerhead series.
Hammerheads.
So initial response to the bag, when I picked it up, this would have been a very popular bag material-wise that we would have seen like 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah. Okay. It's basically, now I'm
it really, kind of launched a lot of bag companies like this reverse
this here
stuff.
This is I could be wrong. I think this is not. I think this is Turbo.
Turbo. Okay.
So I think this is true. Like this is more of like a pro sniper. Gotcha. Because it's a little thicker, just a little bit. I could be wrong, but that's just kind of what feel wise is telling me. And then the slick side is Viper Slick, right? So you have this material that we know plays about a 6 on the slow side. It's going to be very waxy feeling at first. It breaks down, becomes very soft. But then as it becomes softer, it does become a little susceptible to humidity where it will slow down to a 4.5, 5 on slow boards.
And that's like when you're watching like Tony Smith throw his, like that's the level of sticky that he's got in his pro sniper.
Correct. Too. The slick side, you know, is going to play a consistent 9.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, I thought that the template was nice. You want a... I like a slightly larger template when I'm playing with this. So it's a slightly larger template, very squared bag, just slightly rounded corners. Mm-hmm. So it holds its shape well. It grabs very nicely. Again, when we start getting too round and we're getting into a bag like this, sometimes it just doesn't make sense to me because then it's too hard to collect. You got to be too perfect. This gives it a little bit of a reach and a grabability that if it was a smaller rounded template, you might just not have. But all in all, it's a very solid bag. It's very well made. Pretty long closing seam across the top.
It's got that linear closing seam too, where it's just like
it looks clean though.
Yeah,
it's very clean. It's pretty high up the bag. You don't get a whole lot of like the puckering. Like if you're a seam in the palm kind of guy, it kind of feels nice.
Yeah,
it feels pretty uniform to it. But yeah, all in all, it's very nice blended fill. It's a little fuller than what we see.
It really, yeah, it definitely.
This is not like a typical flat disc bag that you're seeing. It's definitely a blended fill, which is kind of a nice alternative to what we're seeing out there a lot now.
Well, it gives you a little bit more playability when it does reach that point of like being fully broken in and a little bit sticky.
I would say in terms of this type of bag, I would say this is definitely on the fuller side of them that we're seeing, especially these days.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
With all like the light versions of all these bags and everything. So yeah, overall, I thought it was really nice. Design wise, I'm going to rate it. So he put our logo on the back of it.
Yeah.
But his stock design, I actually kind of like it. I like the logo. It's simple. It's rememberable. And I like the red, white, and blue. It works well.
It does.
I'm going to go 95.
Yeah, I'll go 90 flat.
Okay. Performance wise, where are you going?
Performance for me, little fast for my taste. I don't know, like I'm spoiled now because you're not used to feeling the wax on it anymore. Like most of them come in and they got that stuff off of it. Give me a 74. It's still not horrible. I like the girth to it. It's just a little different than like what you're used to seeing out of this. If I would commit to throwing this, I feel like I would start making a lot more.
And that's why the more I threw it, I understood it. But again, for me, if I'm throwing this bag, I'm thinking put four bags in the hole.
Yes.
Don't try to cut it. I'm going to slide an airmail. That's all I want to do. And I want it a little slinky. So I'm more of like a flat disc. I want that in this type of bag. I was going right around the same thing. I'm going to go a little higher, 76.
Okay.
Yep.
But all in all, like for first bags from Grayfin. Stuff,
man.
Hell yeah, man. Keep them coming.
It's good quality stuff. I mean,
and that's honestly, like, comp stamped. Thank you.
Yes.
Like, comp stamp. Can't say enough. Like,
yeah. Just as good a quality as a pro bag.
Exactly. Like, you can go throw them in anything.
So if you play an ACL tournament and you're looking for a new set of bags and you're looking for, like, that medium speed with a good slick side, check out Grayfin Cornhole. I know they're on Facebook.
Hell yeah. And if you're looking for like customs, I feel like this is the kind of guy that like hit him up and like he'll get you a nice like good print of a custom set. Like, I mean, our logo printed really good on that.
It did.
On that side.
Hell yeah. All right. So before we get into the dramatic readings, I had this idea of off the top of our head, who can we compare to like pro cornhole players to pro golfers? Now, this can be because of their throw.
Yeah.
This can be because of their swing. Their personality, any way you want to relate to somebody.
Gotcha.
So I'll kick it off if you want.
Go ahead.
The first guy, and this has nothing to do with like mechanics or anything, just because he's kind of like a G-shucks kind of guy. And I think personality wise, it really fits. I'm going Scottie Scheffler is like a Mark Richards to me.
Yeah, I could see that. Just kind of
just personality wise more. Now, if we're talking swing wise, do you know who the first person I thought was?
With Mark Richards' release?
No, not Mark Richards. I'm talking swing wise from Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, Trey Birchfield.
Yes,
yeah,
very well done. That's what I'm saying. So those were the two guys that I was kind of equating. So, either way,
swing wise for me, I'm thinking John Rahm.
For who?
Who's the cornhole equivalent?
Oh, you want me to tell you?
I know in my heart who I think.
Okay,
it is.
For his Jeremiah Ellis.
Thank you.
Yeah, same, short. Same, yeah, same. Short little
short,
thing.
Little,
yeah,
just yeah. Quick. Like, I get that. Powerful. Yeah.
I think one of the ones I thought he's a newer guy. Just recently won on tour. He played in the Masters first time. Jake Knapp. If you're not familiar with him, he has like one of just the smoothest like Ernie Els-esque type swings. One of my favorite throws of all time has just been so smooth. Kyle Malone.
Yeah,
I've always thought
looks like he's only throwing it 3 feet.
Yeah, man, it just looks
somehow
like
just comes out every time.
The guy's 110 pounds soaking wet, but he just looks like he just comes out of his hand effortlessly every single time.
Now, you mentioned Ernie Els,
yes,
and I had originally thought Ernie Els, give me Matt Abernathy.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Tall, easy, like just everything looks very fluid.
Yeah,
he's got like
I like that. Okay. Yeah. I like that. All right, so this one, just because, not because he's same personality, because I very much like this, the cornhole guy, pro player. I think he's a fucking asshole. But because, like, he plays the villain well, Patrick Cantlay is Cody Henderson.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Like, he has his people that are in his corner and they love him, but then he has a lot of people who think Cody Henderson, like, the antics, like, they just don't like it.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, I might become a Cantlay fan now that you said it. So. Probably not. Yeah, I'm just trying to, I don't know, I'm trying to think of, like, classics, too. Like, I mean, one that I would actually throw out there recently, because his throat changed so much from what I've seen in the past, but Ryan Smith with Jim Furyk got this, like, weird, like, loop.
Actually, that's, like, coming phenomenal. Around, yeah.
It, right? It's different, like, complete opposite I like way that. Of thinking it.
But I had Ryan Smith down as, like, a Bryson DeChambeau. I think there's a guy that takes care of himself. Approach. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, that's kind of why I thought, but I do like the Furyk. That's very good.
But especially, like, with this newish throw coming around. Like, yeah, no, just kind of, yeah, struck me as that.
I think Eric Davis, for me, was Ricky Fowler. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, young, he had a lot of success early on in his career, and then we've hit this, like, little bit of a, like, a lull.
He's got,
and then
the sauce,
now it's this resurgence, you know, yeah, I mean, of Ricky Fowler. So, like, that's kind of reminded me of Ricky Fowler a little bit. So,
yeah, and then
give me one more.
All right, I'm going Trevor Brooks is Cornhole's John Daly.
That's too easy, I think. But yeah, I
you didn't agree. Mention it, so I'll take that. That's my last one hanging it.
I agree. Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Oh, yeah. So we can end the softball. That's fine.
That's true.
It's hard
That's
to go
true.
Through. Yeah.
Very true. All right. Let's do dramatic readings.
In a world where beanbags have brought men to their knees, social media serves as sanctuary for keyboard warriors. Time for the dramatic readings.
And as always, these dramatic readings are brought to you by Big D Bags. Don't be one, throw them over at bigdbags.com.
Or wear one on your head.
Just slap a big old D right across your forehead. You'll never feel more comfortable in your life.
The hats are great.
Yes. I think he needs to come out with, like, a mushroom stamp hat or something.
Like, just funny. On the underside of the bill.
Yes, exactly.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Nope.
John, get it.
Yeah, there you go. Free marketing. But yeah, Big D Bags. Love them, throw them, get on the train, put your hands on some big old D's.
Addicted to Cornhole, Charlie Hunt. When playing partners, do you like when your partner coaches you on every throw and tells you where and how to throw, or do you prefer to be coached when asked about the bag situation? You do not want any coaching unless you ask for it.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, we've all played the game enough. I feel like there's no reason to coach me when we're playing cornhole. It's cornhole.
But there are some people very much like that. Like, they feel the need to, like, remind you of what you're doing.
Open board, they're like, where do I go? It's like, no, you just stay down the middle. Like, there's nothing else in the way.
I guess it depends on how they're doing going about it. If it's somebody, like, they're being uplifting and, like, they're just trying to, like, give you a positive affirmation, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But if they're kind of, like, getting a little snarky and maybe a little annoyed, like, you're not playing the best.
Yeah, if they're like,
hey, that would get annoying.
Throw up right here. Yes. Like, give them one of those. Like, I don't know. Did you have this one?
You want to take that one?
I can take this one. Good. I figured you'd snap that photo.
Yeah, go ahead.
Addicted to cornhole. I don't believe the ACL is ever going to keep growing the sport, in quotes. You can't keep biting the hand that feeds you, and right now that hand is the non-pro players paying into tournament in the lower three divisions that you keep raiding the prize money to pay the top tier. Run on sentence. If you have separate divisions, the money for the player should stay in that division. Unless you do rounder to decide division, then that's different. Change my mind.
I mean, It always cracks me up because like this is probably like the 10th time it's come up.
Unpopular opinion.
Okay.
Boo, 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 boo. If you're like not in advanced and competitive or advanced and open, I feel like you shouldn't win money. I know it's the unpopular opinion out there, but guys, we've all gone to these Sunday beer league tournaments and stuff with your softball buddies, and there's no fucking prize money.
You get a trophy.
You get a trophy, like, and you get to hang out with your boys and have a good time. Like, if you're at that intermediate and competitive level, earn the right to make the money.
You want to get rid of sandbagging. This is how you do it.
That's how you do it.
And then you weed yourself out of the people who actually love playing and the people who are just think they can win money.
Yeah, and guess what? If you move all of that money up, then they can pay out more places. And then you have a better chance at winning money if you have the chops to earn that money. I just hate the fact that everyone feels this entitlement that, oh, well, I paid. I should have a chance to win it against people at my own level. No, like this, like what is grade school athletics? They win a championship. They're not fucking getting checks. Like you're amateur level. You don't earn money there. Again, like,
yeah, if you
correct me if I'm wrong, but like, if you're
going to sponsorship, then
exactly. Like, I just don't understand this whole stigma that like intermediate deserves the right to win all the money because we have the number one participation.
If paying, let's say, $40 to enter a tournament and then winning $200, that's enough to change your life. Like, we got to reevaluate everything
exactly that we're doing. Like, this is a sport, it's for the love of the game, especially when you start out at that level. Again, we talk about the camaraderie and the cornhole family. It's none more apparent than at the intermediate and competitive level.
When we were playing a lot, right, and we were actually doing well in regionals, not once did I ever think, I wonder how much money I'm going to win.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, I wonder if they have plaques today.
Yes.
Am I going to get to take home a trophy?
Can I get
so my daughter doesn't think I'm an utter loser?
100%.
For the rest of my life.
In the same boat. Just, give me the hardware, baby. Yeah. Like, save your money. I don't give a shit. Like,
I don't need your $75.
Yeah.
And again, like, it goes back to the same thing with, like, in the ACL, the pro division. They're paying out too many places.
They're
paying out too. You don't need $27 if you took, like, 64th. Yes. You just don't. You need a slap on the ass and be like, hey, play better next time.
Exactly.
But we don't
need to get angry at the fact that you didn't make any money and use it.
Motivate people. Yeah. Motivate people to play better and want to move up. If you want to play, with the big boys, you want to win the money.
Yeah.
Then fucking step up and play with the big boys.
I'm happy that we're on the same page.
Oh, 100%.
Because like, at the States, I heard it repeatedly. People were like, well, if I take third, how much? I'm like, guys, what do you care? You're going to lose now that you're asking how much you're going to make if you take third.
Guess what?
Third.
You're going to lose it in the four blind draws you play in next week anyway.
Yes,
so just
exactly.
Stop.
You're going to lose it at the bar before you walk out of here. Like, just it's about.
And if you're trying to use this as extra income, then become a pro. And if not, and you're just like going to competitive to try to win money, you're literally the scum of the earth. Like, get a fucking, you're a loser. You're a fucking loser. If that's your, like, that's your goal. If you're going competitive and be like, oh, I'm going to win money today. You're fucking, who cares? Who gives a fuck? Hey, can you name me the last three competitive champions, world champions?
No.
Yeah, exactly. No one fucking cares.
No one gives
a shit. Cares. No one cares. So stop. If you want to play, I completely agree. You want to eliminate sandbagging 100%. No more payouts below it. Advanced.
So I'm saying
no more, none,
and just bring it,
write it down.
Yeah, get it all up there. And like, I mean, I know everyone will be like, well, no, I don't have a chance to win. It's like, you already lost because you're saying that. Like, if you don't think you're going to improve at all,
correct,
then just enjoy your time and have fun being out. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
It can still be fun. I went from going to doing very well, winning a lot, to I have not won I've won one event when I was on like a Cape
Cod
2 years ago.
You've won one match in 5 years. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously. Like, but seriously, you go on, you laugh about it, but outside of like the TCL stuff, like I hadn't won anything in a very long time. Like I was in a very long, it sucks, but you grind. And guess what? I'm way better now than I was 3 years 100%. Ago when I was playing, but like, the talent gets better.
Everyone's getting better. So
I know people say it's not fair. Guess what? It's not, nothing.
Life is not fair.
Yeah, correct. No one owes you anything.
Yes. Earn it.
Yeah, correct. Somebody would have to come up with a very compelling argument on the counter to that for me to ever like to be like, oh yeah, intermediate should get played.
On the flip side too, like piggybacking on this, if you're one of those people out there giving your directors bullshit because of payouts and stuff, go fuck yourself too, because they're allowed to get paid for running this shit. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's long fucking days. They literally give up entire weekends away from their family to host this stuff for you. And how dare you think that they don't get to bring home any money on it?
It's a business.
They have to pay for the fucking venue so you can come and have your fun and then bitch at them about not winning $50 in the intermediate division, taking fifth place. I'm sorry. Like, all of that shit needs to stop in this sport if it's going to keep growing. Like, and I know it's like few and far between, but everyone that's listening to the show has seen it happen firsthand. And if you don't call it out at the moment, it's never going to stop. So we just need to band together and bring this thing back to what it is. And like, I keep saying it, like, somewhere like in the last two seasons, cornhole is not as fun as it used to be at these tournaments. And I feel like we always talked about like clicks and stuff. It's not even clicks anymore. It's people just all worried about winning. And yes, we all want to win. But at the same time, last I checked, every time I crack open a beer, I'm a winner too.
I like when I'm not the only one that gets fired up about stuff. So yeah, nice.
Dude, like, no, I heard it way too often this weekend. And I'm just like, people bitching about like a tablet shorting out, like running out of battery. It's like, oh, heavens to Betsy. Let me just click two buttons and boom, it's right back to you. Sorry, your game got paused for 30 seconds. Like,
another point going on, if you are one of those people that complains about a venue, but then you also bring your own alcohol and food to the venue when they specifically say not to,
yeah,
you do not get to complain about the venue anymore. No. The only way can market themselves to get big venues is be like, hey, we're bringing in a crowd and your concession is going to kill it.
Yeah.
That sounds sweet. But then when everyone's bringing outside stuff, like, it's just a bad look.
And especially like if that venue is able to get like a deal for you to have like cheaper beers, do not complain. Just be happy that there's some alcohol there that's reasonably priced.
Or then go check out a national.
Yeah, Jesus, go to a national. Christ. You're paying $12.50.
Yeah, go to Rock, like, Hill. And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you have something to actually complain about.
It's just like everyone feels so entitled, and it just drives me nuts. It's like, how about if you're bitching about the venue or the people running it, try running one yourself.
Yep.
And then get back to us.
Dane, I think that deserves a very hearty rap horn.
Does it? Yep. All right, you're going the wrong way. We got to walk it back.
Dude, their fingers.
That was finger blasting, dude.
Flying. All right, reach us at Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Big Ass Cornhole.
And the one that's left, that's Facebook at Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors. Visit DragonBags, that's with a Z, .com. Drop code BigAsp12 at checkout to save yourself some money.
Don't forget about Black Sheep Baggers. If you go to blacksheepbaggers.com, you can use code BIGASP and save yourself some money. And if you're in the market for a new set of pro-level boards, we can't recommend enough. Go to gnarlybags.com, use code BIGASP, and you're going to save yourself 10% on those new boards.
And last but not least, Big D Bags. If you're a fan of this show, then we all know you love having a pair of big old Ds right in your hands or across your forehead if you're Sean. So why don't you go over to Big D Bags and get yourself some delicious bags.
I wanted to give a quick shout out to our newest cool kids on the block, our newest members of the Asshole Clan. The newest members are our Patreon: Trenton Combs, Greg Foley, Darren Fens, Matt Hardbarger, Noah Burks, Devin, Jay, Eric Nierenschwander, Josh Fausick, Jay D'Ambrosio, Jared Mickler, Stacy Fountain, Mitchell Sanford, Letitia Smay. So shout out to you guys. If you
y'all are the real heroes,
want to be cool as them and you want some access to bonus content, giveaways, we're going to do a happy hour next week. You go to patreon.com/bigasscornhole, and for the price of a beer a month, you can get access to a whole bunch of bonus stuff. So go to patreon.com/bigasscornhole, and we greatly appreciate your support, not just from Patreon, but just a quick shout out to everyone that's like listened to our show.
Yes,
like, thank you very much, man. Like, this is like still going back to like when we first started this, going on 5 years now.
5 years, Sean.
It's overwhelming, like, where we've gotten to this point. So thank you very much for every single person. If you listen to our show, especially weekly, like, we notice those things, man. So thank you very much for everyone that likes a post on Facebook, gives us a follow. Like, we appreciate those things. And that's why it drives us to keep putting out good content. So we appreciate you guys.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, I hope you guys enjoy the DK interview. He's been one of our favorite guys in the league for the last 3-4 years, man. He was our only sponsored player.
It's a sad day, man. Like, I don't know, like, cornhole without DK, like, when we first came up, he was just... he was that guy. Like,
yeah. So DK, he takes us through, he decides to step away. So you'll hear from him. It's going to be a little bit weird, but we talk a lot about possible changes that we can make to the pro division to make this like sustainable. And again, he's been a pro for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So he's been around the game for a very long time. Very insightful dude. And then we end it with just some banger, like tier talk, man.
Yeah,
like, I just love like it just, and it was so organic too. We started with one and then somehow we ended up with like three or four.
Steamrolled right into another.
So, hope you guys enjoy it, but, thank you again for the support and enjoy the interview. And as always, we hope you throw it straight. And it's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later. All right, guys, we are back with, the former child phenom of cornhole. All right, some
thank you for saying phenom.
some might know him as DK. We call him Mr. Derek King on this show. What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Thank you guys for having me. Always a pleasure.
Of course, man. It's been a long time. So what have you been up to, man?
Not a whole lot recently.
Well, you got married, right? Since the last time I've talked to you, like on the show, you've got married, man. Like you're like a full blown adult now.
Yeah, man, I'm all grown up, you know. it's definitely been an adventure, but yeah, I've been married for almost 6 months now.
Congrats,
person.
Congrats.
You made it this far. That's
okay. So let me ask you.
Start off.
So it's the obligatory. Has anything changed since you guys got married?
No.
Okay.
No.
You guys still in that honeymoon phase then?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude, we love
you. Dude, ride that. It's somebody that just celebrated their 10th anniversary last week, right? Ride that shit out as long as you can.
Oh yeah, you know, I feel like when you have that special connection with somebody.
Hell yeah.
You know, the type of love, you know, you would do anything for them, they would do anything for you. You know, no matter the situation we're in, you know, we're always there for each other. So that's a pretty cool part.
And I'm going to vouch for DK here. She is not standing behind him right now. So like this is coming from
it's pretty
heart.
Dark.
I know.
It's coming from in the shadows. Yeah. Back there.
She does not have a gun to my head.
So you guys, we can see like little DKs running around here eventually. What's going on?
That's the goal.
All right. There you go.
Nailing down a good, comfortable, stable job. Cat's getting out of the bag. DK is not playing cornhole this year. Due to a couple of circumstances that were supposed to happen, didn't quite line up. I had to do what's best for me and my family and, you know, take accountability and, you know, pursue something else.
And I know that decision came, you know, pretty late, correct?
Yeah. It definitely wasn't an easy decision to make. I've played this game for, going on 17 years.
It's crazy. He started when he was three, folks. Started when he was three.
So, it definitely was a super tough decision to make. After, sitting down, thinking about it, talking about it with Haley, I just decided to do what's best for me and her.
I think this is the first time that, like, since we've been doing the show, like, every year there's some attrition, right? Like, there's always going to be players that are somewhat well-known that decide to step away for whatever reason. But it feels like this year there's been a very large group of, like, I would say foundation core pieces to the ACL that have decided to step away for various reasons, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's health or, you know, financial reasons, whatever it be. You've been around the game a long time, right? Is it sustainable right now? Like, do you see like the current model? Like, obviously it was a personal decision. Like a lot of you guys in this certain age range, right? When you guys are just at that point where you're going to settle down. A beautiful thing about cornhole that we've been saying for a long time is it's a young man's game right now, but you can always go back to it when you're older. You know what I mean? Like it's always going to be here. You know what I mean? So as long as it's around, you'll always have that opportunity to come back. And I feel like it's something that, like, with repetition, you can always pick it right back up. You know what I mean?
No, for sure. I definitely think you're right. It's a younger man's sport.
Or girl, or he, she, it, whatever the fuck you want. Just okay.
Yeah,
we'll keep it PC.
West Coast, we got you. We're good.
I personally don't know if I'm going to make a return. I don't know what the future holds.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not saying that I'm against it by any means. You know, I'll always have a passion and love for this game.
Let me ask you, are you an all or nothing kind of guy? Like when you decided to step away from pro stuff, like, does that mean like you're not going to go to like regionals? You're not going to go to like blind draws? Like, are you going to just take a big step back from the game in general?
Yeah. So I'll, you know, basically be taking a big step back. Now I might go to, you know, one here and there, okay. But it's definitely not going to be a priority. You know, to be the best in this game, you know, if you devote your time to anything, you want to be the best.
For sure.
And in this game particularly, you know, to be the best, you have to devote all your time to it. If not all your time, 95% of your time, to be at the top.
So last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe? Yeah, like a week and a half ago, we had the first national, right? So this is your like first national you're kind of watching from home, knowing that you're not going to go into it again. Like, can you walk us through kind of what you were feeling, you know, watching all the stuff unfold? Did you watch it at all? Or were you just I decided to step away and you're going to stay away from it?
No, so I actually watched more cornhole that weekend than I have in a long time.
That's cool.
You know, just every time I would get on Facebook, man, I would see somebody post that they're going to Florida. And it just, you know, it hit me every time, man, you know, I'm supposed to be making that post. But, you know, it just didn't happen. You know, don't ever question the Lord and what he has planned for you. So, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. But yeah, I definitely cheered on a few players. You know, I loved watching the competition. It's pretty interesting seeing what the game has turned into nowadays, versus when I, you know, first started playing. So it was definitely cool to be able to watch at least.
Are you going to stay a fan? Like you said, you might casually play, but if like when the Nationals come up, like, are you going to, you know, try to make an effort to like follow along and, you know, kind of stay at least in the know a little bit?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll be tuned into every event that's, you know, that I'm able to watch.
It's pretty easy. All I have to do is listen to the Big Ass Cornhole podcast and you'll stay pretty well informed.
How he does that.
Shameless plug.
Well done.
I might not always be a player, but I'll definitely always be a fan of the game.
Okay.
For sure.
I like hearing that. You know what I mean? Because like you do make so many relationships and connections in the game when you've been in a game, you know, as long as you have. So it would be, I think it would be a really big change, like if you stepped away altogether, but I'm glad that at least you're staying on as a fan. So I think the game needs that for overall growth, right? If you're going to step away and you can't play, but if you can still watch, I mean, like every view counts, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like for a game that's, we're still trying to make it to like that next stage. I mean, we can't afford to really lose people right now.
It's very true.
For sure. No, I'll always be watching and tuned in, you know, when I can.
So you said you were watching last week and you were cheering for a few people. Who are the folks that you like, you pull for?
All right. So I've taken a big liking into Jeremiah Ellis.
Okay.
He's a real fiery player.
He is.
Definitely can throw him in the hole. Matt Guy. Okay. I always like watching Matt Guy. You know, you never know when he's going to roll off 80 in a row. Tony Smith. Love watching Tony play, especially here recently. Dude's been just lights out.
That was the first time I think you were on the show was with DK. Was with Tony Smith.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. I mean, that was like 3+ years ago.
Yeah. God, we're old.
Yeah. That was a long time ago. We are getting old.
I know. Shit, man. I know. I need to. Tony hasn't been on since. I mean, he got like MVP and stuff. Like, he hasn't come on the show. Even though I voted for the guy. Like, come on, man. Like, seriously?
But you didn't vote for Jamie Graham. So people don't forget.
Well, we talked right before the first national was starting, right? And you asked me an interesting question. And you're like, before I let you go, I want to know if you what do you remember the question you asked me?
Yeah, who is your pick to win the world championship in singles?
You said if I had to put money down on one guy, you gave me one guy. You couldn't say
one guy.
And you said I got the answer correct. So who did you think that was going into last national?
Jeremiah Ellis.
Wasn't Jamie Graham? Game changers.
Jamie Graham with game changers is definitely hard to beat. But after the Ellis performances, man, they just keep coming.
Well, he just had a heck of a performance this past weekend. Won singles in the Ohio State Championships, went to the pool for a late night dip, slipped, cracked his head open. 13 stitches later, comes back and wins doubles. So
that's impressive.
Very impressive. It was his flu game. Impressive. I already told him.
Because I mean, that would have been very easy for him to be like, "Yeah, I'm good."
Yeah, be like, "Ah, you know what? I'm gonna pack it in. It's okay. Got my singles.
Yeah,
gonna head back home."
That's my 1 and 2 pick, Jeremiah or Jamie.
Okay. Do you think it's like with obviously every year the pro division gets a little bit tougher, right? More participations, getting a little bit younger across the board. Are we going to see something like a sustainable level? Like, I don't know if you follow golf at all, right? But Scottie Scheffler is on an absolute tear. He's number one ranked in the world, and he's put this run together where he hasn't shot a round over par in like, 60 rounds, yes, or 70 something, rounds, something outstanding, right? So he's on this incredible run of like longevity right now of success. So we've had Mark Richards have an unbelievable year. We had Tony Smith last year have an awesome year. Eddie and KB had a phenomenal year, winning the first team to win, you know, 3 national championships. But then they come back to national one, and it seems like everyone's starting to come back down. Tony Smith had a decent showing, but like, do you feel like it's not going to be sustainable? Like, is it just going to be new blood every single national just because the competition is so good?
I feel like you'll see more new winners than you will repeat winners. I feel like some of the winners that are winning, will stay towards the top. But I think it's just so hard to get out there and consistently win over and over and over again, just because the new competition coming in every year is so good. Out of the 264 pros, 50 different people, 75 different people could win each tournament.
Yeah.
If somebody does sustain that kind of, level, then, props to them, because that's going to be extremely hard.
I thought it was interesting what you said. Out of 264 pros, you said 50 to 75. And I think 75 was you being nice, individuals that could win a national. Do you think everyone kind of understands that going into a national tournament? I mean, obviously you go into a building, you feel like you're confident in your skills, but when it really comes down to it, like not everyone going in a building has a realistic chance of winning. Right. And I know the motto is anyone can play, anyone can win, but like, it's not true.
No. There's certain guys you step up against and you're like, if I beat him, like that's when I could, I can hang this on as a career win.
I think the guys that are winning, maybe in the back of their head know that there's a lot of people that could win this event, but I think, they think that they're going to win. I definitely don't think there's anybody winning that thinks somebody else could win the event, if that makes sense.
264 pros is how it sits currently right now. We've seen, off the top of my head, 6 pretty good, like very solid foundational piece from the ACL walk away this year. All right. Obviously they filled in elite players, next man up, coming up. Is 264 too much to be sustainable? Like, do you feel like for the good of the ACL, like the pro division should be smaller? Like, should we shrink it down to 64? Should we shrink it? Is that too drastic? Should be 100?
Yeah. Let's get it to 64.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of the same way. I feel like,
well, I think it also too, it's indicative of which direction they go. Obviously, if you go the teams route and you have more teams, then you can just fill it that way by having, rosters of 20 people per team or something.
Yeah. But
if it's going to stay this whole like national thing and the money has to come from inside of cornhole like it is right now, it's definitely got to drop down to like 64 people.
I think it makes an interesting point with the stamping, right, of bags and getting a pro stamp bag. If you limit the amount of pros to 64, obviously at the most you could have 64 technically like pro stamped bag companies. I think eventually that's probably where we're going to go to. But I think that if you shrink the pro pool down, that makes the people that actually require legit sponsorship money to travel to the all these national championships, I don't know. I just feel
it attainable.
It does. 264 is a lot of people to cover. But, you cut that, you give a quarter of that, and then it's all of a sudden, those 64 players, maybe we get to 64 players that actually can do this full time.
And it's not like these pro players aren't like a Sunday men's softball league where like you can go ask your local bar for like $1,000 to cover you. Like you guys need to like, they had to get a lot of money to make all this travel and stuff. It's not easy to come by. So yeah, I think the only way it's sustainable is by knocking it down. I mean, 64 is pretty drastic, but I get it. Like, and one, it also gives all 64 of those guys a chance to become a real household name.
Yeah.
So I still feel like even though we find success in cornhole, like even like the novice fan still has no idea like who the G's are.
Yeah.
It's all like their local guys that they always see that just think are the best. But like really there's this whole world of just absolute killer.
And again, and 64 is just a number I'm throwing out.
Yeah.
Like right now I think there's currently there's 16 teams.
It's, I mean, 64 makes clean brackets, like is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could always cut it down to 8 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It is interesting. I mean, I think that there's changes eventually that need to be made. But right now, I think just with how the ACL is set up, until they're able to bring in like outside investment money, a lot of that relies on these bad companies coming in. Mm-hmm. Pro application, you know what I mean? Like those are, it's $1,000 pop. You know what I mean? That's a lot of money to be walking away. You limit that. I mean, you're only getting a quarter of that money coming in. You know, then is the pro payout less than for, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of questions, but.
So I was thinking of this the other day, and I don't know why it just like popped back in my head, but you know, I was thinking of like the gauntlet of like getting the pro qualifier.
Yeah.
What if they switched it up and turned it into like what they did for the UFC contender series?
That'd be kind of
where sweet. They all live together. I think it would be a reality show done right there.
I mean, for a streaming service. Yeah. I feel like absolutely. Absolutely. You could probably kill
it.
I think
it would be hilarious, but yeah, I don't, it's just random thought popped in my head. Wanted to share.
I would tune in.
Yeah, why not?
What if the whole pro circuit was just like, hey, we're just renting this hotel out for a month and just gonna show a bunch of pro events, you guys stay here, you're on lockdown.
I mean, I think if like the ACL could put together like a legit documentary following a season, kind of like what like you see Full Swing and all these shows, and get it on a series like Netflix, that would blow up the popularity of a game. And absolutely. That's what they need. Like I feel like there's just Mark, and maybe they are working on things like that behind the scenes. I mean, I would hope so.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen their videos on Facebook.
I don't know. One of the questions that someone brought up the other day, and I think it was actually Jamie Graham on Twitter. So I don't know if you're on Twitter a whole lot. It's still one of my favorites to go in for news.
It's formerly Twitter, now X.
It's still Twitter. You still tweet, right? You don't X?
No, I think you X.
I don't know.
You O.
I don't know.
You X on the O.
Don't laugh. All right, don't. Can I just get some going? All right? Like, you just give them these courtesy laughs and just give them fuel for the fire, man.
Just because I'm funny, all right?
He made a point where I think it was after Trey posted that Birchfield won, like, his third in a row in doubles and was talking about, like, the overall title counts. But those were opens. So Jamie made the, I believe if it's, it wasn't Jamie, I apologize, but I'm almost positive Jamie Graham basically said something that like, he doesn't feel like open titles should be in the same count as like the overall count for like national titles. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? Like, so as somebody that's won a national before, like, do you feel like open titles equate to a national title or a world championship?
No.
Cause how many total have you won?
I think I've won 3 nationals, 2 world titles, a few opens.
Okay.
But I mean, I never counted my opens as like on the level of like a national title.
But like in terms of like overall count, like the ACL does count those, which I'm not saying I'm on either side of the fence, but like somebody like, and again, this is not a shot at him, but somebody like a Carson Getty. If you're not a huge cornhole nerd, you're like, who the fuck did you just, he won an open last year.
Yeah.
So technically he's on that list. He's way down, but he's on the list above other guys that have never won anything.
But then there's the argument of the PGA tour. I mean, you get a tour win. That's not a major, still a big deal. And you're on a list, still tour.
Is
win.
It a big, is it a big deal?
They're still making good money. And
you win money, but like no one who won the, like, you know, who won the Waste Management Open a few weeks back.
I believe that was, did Homa take that?
No.
Morikawa. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like, no one actually remembers who wins. You remember who win the majors.
Yeah.
You don't give a fuck who wins the tournaments. Like, yeah, it's a great payday. Good clap. Awesome. Well,
I mean, I think the other argument
put it on your resume, like, but it shouldn't count as all time.
Some of these opens, like, you go out, you see the names that are at, like, no knock on it, but like Minnesota or like going up to Canada and stuff. Like, they're not elite fields and they're still able to hang their hat.
You
on
said
that
it, not
as
me.
A victory.
So just remember that, folks. When you send us messages, it was Dane that said that. I was just kidding.
That's fine.
No, but I don't know. I feel like
Carson is in the the doubles shootout final.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's why he was just the first name that came to my mind that of somebody that like I knew that won an open but hadn't won like a national or anything. Because he won one last year early on in the season, mm-hmm. and it kind of put him on the radar. But then he had an average season, I would say. Like, because I mean, people were saying like maybe he's a top 25 player.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, so he was just the first thing that kind of popped in mind, and it was kind of that he was playing later. So,
just so I'm on the same page, you don't think that open titles should count on the same level as national and world titles?
I don't. If Tiger Woods won 200 tournaments but never won a major. He's not Tiger Woods.
Yeah, don't put him in the same bracket. Like, you need to have tour wins and then major wins.
Correct.
Like, that's how you need to
differentiate. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yes,
I agree
with 100%.
Yeah.
You can't add it up because, like, Trey Birchfield, phenomenal player. But, like, if you take away all the open, because he's an open doubles, like, machine. He just goes around winning fucking open doubles. If you take all those away, where does he fall in the overall list? I don't know, but we'll need a Trey Ryder or somebody.
I feel like he only... like dominated that one season, right? That he won.
Singles. Yes. He won a world championship. Yeah. He won a world championship in singles.
I can't remember if they got it done in doubles at all that season though.
They did win a national with him and Rawls won one national, I believe together.
Okay. All right. But was that the season that he killed it in singles?
No, that was the year before when he was,
was he still with Corwin?
No. Who was he playing with that one year? I don't remember who he was playing with that year. Oh, yeah, it was you. It was DK. Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, that's
right. Well, speak up, son.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm like, no. I'm like, no, because he walked. Yeah, that's right.
We have a lot of names to remember.
Did you guys win that year?
Yeah, that's the year we won.
Yeah. So I think he probably has four.
Okay.
But then open, I think like the total count was like nine or something. So he's like third all time. So that's when Jamie Graham's
tight. That's a total openings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you take those away, and again, it's not taking a shot at Trey, it's one of the best that there's been.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there needs to be a clear separation in this overall count as we get more of these in here.
Yeah.
As like, because cornhole, there's not a whole lot into it. We have stats, though. You know what I mean? So if you're a stats nerd and you want, like, you really got to look at the best fields of it's all pro players, technically, right? And you can make the, opens are hard. No, they're not. They're not fucking, they're not. If you've been to an open and you've been to a national, but DK, back me up here. They're not the same. They're not the same atmosphere.
They're way different. They're way different.
The pressure's not there. You know what I mean? It's just not.
We're gonna have people with 96 titles.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because they have like 27 opens a year. So like, okay, sweet. But if you win a national, then you're somebody. Carson Getty, you go win me a singles national, you're off that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Done.
Yeah, because there's four of those a year.
Yeah, correct.
That's why they mean something.
Against the toughest pool in the nation.
Yeah.
Like,
against the toughest players. They're all there. Yeah. At the Opens, you know, they're not all there.
Yeah, they're not all there. And then, like, you can still get that, like, fluff game or two in there, too. Just kind of boost your confidence a little bit. Like,
Yeah,
you don't have those anymore in the national circuit.
Yeah, if entering an open event, like, if we as a doubles team have the same chance as somebody else,
it should not count for any
sort of rating. Okay, we'll say that. Okay, if we qualify for a tier one, like I'm telling you now, like, it should not count for shit at an open.
You qualify for an open by paying.
So besides possibly shrinking the pro field, you've been around the game for a while. What are things that you've liked? What are things that you don't like or that you think could change to help the betterment of like the pro cornhole circuit?
So growing up in a lot of tournaments, you know, when the bags became two-sided, everybody had to throw the same bags.
Okay.
I think that would be a very interesting thing to see nowadays. I don't think it will ever happen.
Just I feel every bag maker
can I throw something out there? It's something that we've thrown out. It's been a few years since we brought this up again. What if it is, again, equating it back to golf a little bit, what if they made each national like a major? Like every year, you know, the first National of the Year is going to be in Florida. The second one's going to be California. Third one's going to be somewhere in the Midwest. You know what I mean? Like, but one maybe is outdoors. You know what I mean? And every national is a different bag or different style bag. So you know that, hey, national one is sticky bag time, baby. This is our national. So we have certain players, because certain players in golf do better on certain courses, yeah. Right? So I thought that that could be a really awesome way that you can really spice things up, is go to a one bag thing. So every bag manufacturer has a national that they can sponsor. They get, you know what I mean? They get all the, you know, they provide the bags, they send them to the pros. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that would work, but I feel like if you could make the venue the same every year, make travel a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it was the same every year, then.
You know that going to National 3, it's going to be an outdoor event, mm-hmm. and we're playing slick bags or we're playing sticky bags. You know what I mean? Like every year, like you have to play a certain type of bag. I feel like that would definitely be a change that I would like to see at least.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting. I think you would have a lot of people that don't like it.
Because we're too soft now, man. Everyone's afraid of a
little adversity.
I love going to outdoor tournaments and hearing like when the first pro gets knocked out. I love... They just, it's like they're busting out their pocketbook of excuses. Like it was too windy. The boards weren't level. Windy, the grass was like touching my foot in this weird time. There was too many bugs. Like, you know, like this board was faster and this board was slower. There's no consistency. Aren't you supposed to be fucking pros?
Yeah.
Like, aren't you supposed to be the best at what we fucking offer? Nope. And you're too afraid of a little bit of challenge? Price. Yeah. What? So, I mean, we're getting to the point where you guys are so good. It's boring. It's not sustainable. As a guy that loves this game and is trying to do this for like a living, like talking about it, it's getting boring. Like we need to change something up. Yeah. And I think just give me one national year outdoors. Just give me one. I would love to see who shows up and who actually can perform like in those different environments. I think it'd be wild. Every year, just make it. Give
us one.
When
was the last time they had an outdoor? Was it 2 years ago?
Well, they had opens outdoors like during COVID. I know.
I thought they had a national outdoor like not too long ago.
I think they had one in like a parking lot or something, right?
A long time ago in like Arizona.
Yes, that's what it was. I think that might have been the last one. Was that all outdoors?
I don't think it was all outdoors.
Yeah.
I remember playing Brew Cup outdoors.
Okay.
And then they played the finals outdoors. That's when Jimmy McGuffin and Josh Lunsford won that year.
That was
fun. It was a pro national.
We'll call that a hootenanny.
Hootenanny. Hurry, hurry. Hurry, hurry. No, I don't know. It's just something that I just been thinking about so much, because like we've talked about like the sponsorships and all that stuff, but like what are other ways that this game could just like keep a little spice into it? I feel like that's an easy one to try to make happen.
But it's a hard sell. To the pro field.
It's not. You fucking tell them, hey, we're having the event here and that's where you're playing. They don't have a choice. You guys don't have a choice in anything. You have like a pro committee. You know what I mean? But you guys can't even all agree on whether we can step over a fucking line or not. I mean, so don't come at me like that.
Sean,
like,
for the record, you can step over the line, just not too much. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's where they settled on.
Big toe down.
Yes.
Big toe down.
Gotta keep something in the box.
Are you gonna, okay. So now that you're not a pro player, would you ever consider becoming an ACL official?
An ACL official?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I actually just heard that Mrs. Hissner became an ACL official.
Really?
She
got went through the training and stuff?
Well, she sent in to sign up and they said that she got it. So I don't know what that entailed, but she told me on the feed and I was like, all right, we'll be in touch.
I
think we need to retrofit her with the perfect
ACL official, but I never looked into it.
Yeah, I think we need to retrofit her with like the appropriate whistle, the appropriate little piece of rope or something to throw down when there's a foot foul. Yeah, there needs to be some fun stuff.
So what? How many officials are they going to have?
I don't know.
264.
I would imagine they're going to have enough at least for how many broadcast courts they have. Now, I don't know if National 1 is different than what we're going to see going forward. Last time they only had two broadcast courts going, mm-hmm. and it was either like on ESPN Plus. It makes me think because they signed the new deal with ESPN that they boasted like a lot of hours. And I'm like, that seems like way too many hours over 2 years for just the Nationals. So I think they're getting it on ESPN Plus. Gotcha. So it's probably, I'm assuming they're just going to keep the two main courts. So you'd probably need at least two officials there, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would think so. But I think you need to, for like an open and stuff, when you have 4 to 6 feeds, sometimes you got to just have people at the ready.
Yeah.
I'd assume that they got to have at least 20 just for travel purposes, like all around the country, right?
I that's what I'm saying. I'm interested to find out what were the number of people that like showed interest in like and that are actively going through this.
Yeah.
Would you say it's over under 20? I think that's a good number across the country.
I'll go over.
That's higher or then applied?
The amount, the that number applied. That applied.
I'll even just go like showed interest in.
I'll go higher than that. There's plenty. Yeah, there's enough people that are traveling to every one of these things with their significant other. That's like, you know, might as well try to make a little cash while I'm here.
Yeah. I would say the number would be probably more set at like 50.
Oh, okay. And maybe I'm way off. Yeah, and I hope maybe I'm that out of touch with that. I mean, you're right. Maybe there are, you know, one person from every league that's like, I could do that. Like we need to be done and somebody's going to step up and do it. Man, yeah. That's why
not? I could be way wrong too.
Well, and Jennifer Hissner, that's like a perfect person. You're going 100%. To the events anyways.
Yeah, and she's been around. Why not make a little
money?
Long?
Yeah. Why not make a little money?
Yeah, you've been, she's going to be there. Like, yeah, she'll pay attention to what she knows the game. Like,
yeah, that 100% makes sense. Interesting.
Very interesting.
You want to do some questions or cheer talk? Go ahead. What's up?
Who is your guys' pick to win this coming weekend?
Well, we talk about it in the episode before this. Spoiler alert. So I have power rankings, right, that come out. Now, if you're asking me who am I betting on, like who I'd put money on based on the lines, where the lines are at right now, I kind of like Gavin Cano. He's at plus 190. I just like the value. I like the value there. And then, who was the other one? And then, man, it's hard to pass up Cano and Hamilton, man. I know they're going against Richards and Smith, but like just with the plus money that you're getting from, I'm kind of leaning that way. So
yeah, I think any of them could win.
it's gonna be tough, man. What DraftKings has not addressed, and what the ACL is probably secretly a little bit pissed about, is that there's a junior in every event, which takes out one option. So what happens if they win? Like what happens then?
I mean, I think we're gonna find out.
So my thing is what I'm saying. Or if they pay out the second place team, then you should always just bet the other side.
100%.
So like the one option is Getty and Thorson are facing Smith and Wiedenfeld. Mm-hmm. Smith and Wiedenfeld you cannot bet on because Wiedenfeld's only 17. So it would.
I actually think that is what happens. They go down to the next person.
They've never said that though. That's what we think, but like I've never seen proof of anyone getting paid out for that afterwards. So we're trying. I've sent emails to DraftKings.
I don't think it's happened yet. That's why we haven't heard anything.
No, it did. Didn't it happen last year? Wasn't. Oh man, maybe I'm wrong.
No, because Gore was in it.
But... Gore was in it, but he lost.
Okay, you're right. But like that's what I'm saying.
I'm pretty sure though, if a junior does win, it goes down to the next team.
If that's how they do it, if that's how they do it, then it makes zero sense for anyone out there to put money on Carson or for Getty and Thorson because they're facing the team that there's like a no win. So as long as you get one side, you're cheering for Smith and Wiedenfeld to win the whole fucking thing. Then it doesn't even matter because then you would still win anyways.
Yeah,
so you basically take your pick between Smith and Richards or Cano and Hamilton, whoever you like.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, I feel like Gavin is throwing next to Jeremiah Ellis. He's throwing the best in the country right now. But can he get over the mental hurdles? I think that the 2-week layoff and us talking to him last week about this, it sounds like he's in a good headspace and he is aware of it. I think we're going to see a more relaxed and Gavin, and that can be a scary thing. And I feel like maybe this is his coming out party.
It could be just what the doctor ordered for him, to be honest.
Listen, he's flying under the radar big time because everyone's like, oh, Jeremiah Ellis is going to win everything. I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah.
If you've listened to the show, we were the first motherfuckers on the bandwagon for Jeremiah Ellis. We were the original jellies or whatever the fuck you guys want to call each other. But I'm telling you right now, it would not surprise me if Gavin Cano played spoiler across the board in those two events.
Yeah, I mean he's throwing. Yeah.
And if you're asking me if I'm putting money down, if it's money, in my money, I'm going that route. I would rather the bigger return for a match that I feel like is a coin flip in both those situations. Anyways,
no, I agree. I definitely agree.
So,
His airmails at the last national were sick.
Yes. But that also goes against
every time I watched the guy throw an airmail, it was cash.
Yeah.
But for the record, you're contradicting yourself.
I understand that. And we talked about that earlier, yeah. But I'm just saying, if you like who I have a gut feeling about,
yeah.
In doubles, I like Kano and Hamilton, and I understand that Kano plays Braden Wilson. I get that. But I just feel like if anyone's gonna play spoiler, I'm confident that he's gonna handle business in singles.
Yeah.
Going through that, so.
All right. Time for some fun random questions.
Do it.
Mr. DK, you got to answer this one first. What song makes you sing at the top of your lungs every time it's on?
Oh, gosh. Long Black Train by Josh Turner.
Okay. Sean?
Say that one more time.
What song makes you sing at the top of your lungs every time it's on?
Oh, man. First one that comes to mind is Friends in Low Places, Garth Brooks.
You guys both with the country route.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go...
Actually, anything by Corey Smith, really, is the true
That's
answer.
Always another good one, yeah. Too. Yeah. yeah, for me, it's...
Lil Michael?
Yeah, anything Lil Michael. Love me some Lil Michael, man. Or Temptations. I'm a huge Motown guy, so like honestly, like you could just throw in a whole bunch of that, like any Marvin Gaye, any of that stuff. Like I know it all. Yeah. So yeah, I'll sing along to any of that at any given time with my sultry, beautiful voice.
Anyways.
Next up, Sean, this one's for you.
Oh, okay.
What is your biggest movie/TV show unpopular opinion?
Seinfeld is trash.
Oh, that is a very unpopular opinion.
I understood when I was younger, people were like, oh, you just don't get it. I've tried now that I'm older and people are like, oh, it holds up so well. I don't find it funny.
Yeah.
I don't get the whole like Kramer character, like Jerry Seinfeld. Like just, I just don't think he's that funny. I just don't think the show's funny at all.
Got it. So. How about you, DK?
I can't wait to see the messages I get about that.
Not very big on Friends.
Oh my goodness.
Did my wife hear that?
I know. She might be down the stairs right now.
Okay. I think you're safe.
Not very big on it.
I think you're safe. I mean, for me, Friends is just like, if it's on, fuck it, whatever. I'm going to go in a positive light, and I think it's a show that you'll remember.
Okay.
But the show Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Slaps. And it still stands today.
So I thought we had to go the opposite route.
I mean, I just think a lot of people thought that show was garbage. So I'm going like, no, that show, I rewatched it recently.
Okay, you have? Okay, dude, I was saying I'm telling you, I've seen it.
It's fucking hilarious. It's very funny.
Do you remember that show, DK?
No, I think that might have been before my time.
It was on, I want to say it was like ABC. These... I guess they're humans in like these dinosaur costumes, and it was just like they're like, it was like a comedy sitcom.
I mean, I think it was like, wasn't it Jim Henson type stuff?
Was it puppets and stuff? I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been like still like people in suits, but like I feel like maybe it was one of his shows, but yeah.
That's a good one. All right, that's from the archives.
Just because I recently like went back and started watching it, and like I was sitting there in bed, and I'm like, oh, dinosaurs. I'm
trying to think if there's any other ones. And you say, is it movies or TV shows?
Yeah.
I don't think I have any hot topics for like movies.
I think another unpopular one that I have is that Dude Where's My Car is the best stoner movie of all time.
Oh man, I disagree hard on that one. Like, so I'm not saying I don't like it. Like it's
all right. So, but for me, it's like, it's two guys that are classic. Yeah,
it is a classic. I'm not saying it's not a classic, but it's not the best of all time. Like that is blasphemous.
But I mean, I understand.
Abba, you my only friend. Are you serious right now?
Cheech and Chong. I understand that. But like, as far as like those two guys just being like total burnout, like stoner guys, like from our generation, I definitely thought that was like it hit a home run. And like, if you like watch it, they only smoke weed in it like one time.
Grandma's Boy.
But again, Grandma's Boy. But it's not your quintessential stoner movie.
Okay.
Yes, they smoke a lot of weed in it. Yeah, but like, it's
okay.
Still
just, I get it. I get what you're saying. Okay.
It's more of an irreverent. Don't get
wrong. I like the movie and stuff. That's a very bold statement. Yeah. But I like it. I like you're going bold today.
I like that it's not like, it's not over the top with it either. It's like, you just know these guys are stoners. And like, that's what makes the whole movie to me.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay. Fair. True.
It's good enough. Everybody at least should watch it one time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Grandma's Boy, like, taught me that, like, you could still function. Dude, Where's My Car made me scared of it.
The girls in that movie were pretty hot too. I don't even remember who they were, but like matter. I just remember. Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't matter. All right, last one. We're gonna stick with the movie TV show thing.
Oh, okay.
What movie or TV show do you think deserves a prequel? A prequel beforehand. I'll start. One that we grew up in our childhood loving. Fern Gully. I would love to get a Fern Gully prequel.
I love the way your brain works.
Dude, like, just imagine that though. Like, it's this whole like mystical world that they like came up out of nowhere and like had this brilliant movie. What came before? And yes, my brain is definitely weird.
Can I go one like a little bit more recent?
Of course.
The Ozarks.
Yes.
That'd get be into like too. When he first gets into it. You know what I mean? Like the boring.
We're just talking about that.
Mundane life, you know, kind
my
of
one
thing.
My one coworker like, just like, she turned around, like I asked her a question. She's like, I don't know shit about fuck. Like, yes.
We're going to be best friends.
Dude, that's a good question. Like, I don't even have an answer right now.
Or here's another one I think that'll be popular. Happy Gilmore, but like his hockey life.
Oh, yeah.
His hockey life, right? Yeah, you know like, what I mean? Like, that, I mean, how sweet would that be? You know what I mean? Like what?
Him getting, guys, like, it just ends with him in the hole. Yes. Like,
yes.
You guys saw that they're coming out with a Happy Gilmore 2, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm very excited.
It's going to be a good one.
So, Adam Sandler is my all time favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody higher on my list than Adam Sandler. I actually watched Happy Gilmore last night.
Dude, it's so hard. Nothing I mean, like, that. Literally every movie comes, and even like his newer, like, serious ones. Awesome.
Yeah, and everyone seems to be coming around.
But I'm not, Doug.
Had two bikers having sex in the woods off town. How am I supposed to chip? It's class.
So good.
Love it. Love it.
All right, so this actually goes perfectly into our tier talk.
Yeah.
So we're going actors. So DK, I'm going to let you start because you already gave us your number one. So give us like an honorable mention and give us your three and two. Like favorite actors. And again, this is off the top of our head. We're going to forget people, yeah, but for sure. This is how we do.
Off the cuff.
Rob Schneider's definitely up there.
Oh, okay. I like it.
Which Rob Schneider are we talking?
This is very, this is
what's
a good
like,
point.
What's your quintessential Rob Schneider?
We're talking like Grown Ups Rob Schneider.
Okay.
You're not even going like Deuce Bigelow?
No.
Oh.
All
right. Sorry.
Wow. I mean, you know, I was saying, judging us harder. He was good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm upstairs.
We had a buddy growing up that he would quote that movie nonstop, and I'm pretty sure for a long time, I'm like, we might be the only three people that have ever watched this movie.
I mean, the greatest line is like, he's like, you made a mistake. Did you say steak? No, mystic. Oh, shit. Sometimes my fingers swell up and I miss cleanly hit the numbers. This should make a phone for full figured girls.
Number three, probably go Chris Tucker.
Nice. Ooh, okay. Yeah, I like that's it. Not one that would pop in my head, but for sure.
Love the Friday series, love the Rush Hour.
Oh, yeah.
You're forgetting his best performance, though.
What do you think it is?
Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. Chris Tucker.
And you put that above the Fridays?
Yes, because Friday collectively is a better movie, but him in Fifth Element made that movie hilarious. Like, he single-handedly made that movie just extremely funny.
Yeah, I really wish he was in, like, Friday After Next and Next Friday. I definitely think they would have been better.
Oh, of course. Who's next?
Honorable mention... I don't like just throwing out awards to people who don't deserve them.
Yeah, what are you, the ACL? Come on now.
Honorable mention. I really like Ice Cube.
Okay.
David Spade.
David Spade's another good one. All right, what's your favorite David Spade movie? Like, what's the movie that, like, there's only one right answer in my mind.
Yes.
Is it The Benchwarmers?
It's not. That is a good movie. I will give you that. That is a good movie. Yeah. Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt, man.
Don't try to church it up, son.
Joe Dirt.
One
he
of
said
my,
Joe Dirt.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Hilarious.
Joe Dirt. Joe Dirt. Yeah, for sure.
My 4th of July shirt this year has all the fireworks on it.
Does it?
Yeah.
I like 4th of July is a big thing here. We love 4th of July.
Yeah, in America. Our Day of Independence. Yeah, brother. All right. We all bleed red, white, and blue. All right. I'll go.
Go ahead.
Honorable mention. I'm going with Steve Buscemi.
Oh, good one.
Yeah,
that's a really good one. I like that one. You would.
So he's in Grown Ups. He's the dude that is in the cast.
No, he's in Mr. Deeds.
Okay. I knew he'd know that.
Or he's in Mr. Deeds.
Yeah,
Mr. Deeds. He's Crazy Eyes.
Crazy Eyes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's Steve.
Okay.
Just
like a squirrel over there.
We're like putting pizza. His like two worst roles of all time.
Okay, I got you.
I was more like Boardwalk Empire, like incredible show. Then that'll be number four. Number three, I mean, I will always be a Will Ferrell guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I love his movies, yeah. So I got to throw Will Ferrell in at number three. He makes me giggle.
It's funny. He's super funny.
Yeah. I mean, I have to have Adam Sandler in there.
Yeah, I was going to try to avoid it, but he's got to be at least in my honorable mention, because he would probably be my realistic number one, but I'm not going to do that because our rule.
Yeah,
I'm not
allowed
to repeat anything.
I'm going to put him at my number two, just because like I have to. And then number one overall, I've never seen a movie that I don't like from the dude, but it's Denzel.
Yeah.
Like, love Denzel. Yeah. Just, my favorite movie is actually one that not many people think of, but it's, I love The Hurricane.
That's a good movie.
It's a great movie, man.
One of my favorites is Man on Fire.
Man on Fire is another good one, man.
Such a good movie. All right, so I won't say Denzel. So he was definitely in my top three. So honorable mention, Steve Carell, because...
Yes.
Just
Michael Scott in
Michael
general.
Scott and every comedy movie, like just Anchorman's still like one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just near and dear to my heart. Love Steve Carell. Another honorable mention, it's just one of those guys that anytime he's in a movie, I'm going to watch it because I think he's that good. Russell Crowe. Like, it's just in some of my favorite movies of all time. Number three, was probably out of like actors' deaths, probably the one that hit me the hardest. Like, I didn't like lose it or anything, but I'm just like, God damn, I'm not going to see another Robin Williams movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, like, just, I loved his stand up comedy. I loved Robin Williams, you know, like every movie he's ever been in. I feel like he was the most famous movie wise, like in like the formative years of like my movie watching. Yeah. So he's always been like near and dear to my heart. Number two, Leonardo DiCaprio. No, he's another one. If he's in the movie, I'm going to fucking watch it. Like, he only comes out with bangers, like Denzel, like all the other guys I'm talking about. Number one, I feel like this guy, again, like every performance he puts on, like, you just feel like he's going to win an Oscar. So Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. That's
just
a good
every
one.
Fucking role. The guy just,
my only gripe with him is just, You can't wait a decade between movies.
I like, do get it, but like, if you look at the catalog of movies he's been in,
I know they're all phenomenal.
Yeah,
like, I mean, My Left Foot.
What's some of his big movies?
My favorite, I think, probably Gangs of New York, where he plays Bill the Butcher. It's still, I think, if I were doing like I'm going to write that down for next week. We're doing villains.
Okay,
I think Bill the Butcher would be up there with one of my best like movie villains of all time. He played Abraham Lincoln in Lincoln. Okay, I mean. There's too many to count. Like,
I mean, Last of the Mohicans.
Last of the Mohicans. I mean, he's just been in
My
killer
Left
movies.
Foot,
yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Just a lot.
That would, yeah, correct. He's just been really good. And he's just like a method actor. You know, he just like dives in 100%. So that was my list. I'm sticking to it.
I like it. I mean, it'll change next week.
Always does. Yeah, we probably did this a year ago. People were like, that's not who you listen.
Yes,
off the top of the head, this is
off the cuff.
And it might have been just because I watched something the other night. You know, never know.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's tough to answer off the top of the head.
Oh, for sure.
So it makes it entertaining.
All right, yeah. So let's do one more.
All right.
I heard it today, and it just got me going.
Let's go. All right.
You have to give me your top three. Just, I want three. No honorable mentions, a hard three. We're going cartoons, but we're talking like Saturday morning cartoons. None of like, no Family Guy, no South Park, like none of the Adult Swim type stuff. All right. So you got to go like old school cartoons.
Easy money.
Easy for you?
Easy money.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. All right.
You want to go first?
Yeah. Okay. I can start us off. So we're just doing a hard three?
Yes.
All right. Number three, I'm going SpongeBob.
Okay. I figured you
would
go there.
He hit like right at the perfect time of me growing up. And
I was just a little bit too old for SpongeBob. A little bit, yeah.
But like when he came out, like that was right in my heyday, and I fell in love with it. So number three would be SpongeBob. Number two, it's going to sound corny, but I'm going Rocket Power. Love the boogity, boogity, boogity. Love that show, man.
DK got like, a little chuckle. Yeah, you remember that one.
Yeah, loved Rocket Power. Then number 1A of all time, and this is going to piss Sean off, but Doug.
Like, I didn't even write it down because I knew. Yeah, but I already knew you were going
to say it. Loved Doug. It still holds up today.
Over Hey Arnold.
Yeah, you know, like I was thinking Hey Arnold, but like I watched way more Rocket Power. I watched a lot more Doug.
Okay.
And then... yeah, SpongeBob was just kind of the tried and true.
I got you. It's fair. All right, DK, what's yours?
All right, so my number three, I'm going Fairly Odd Parents.
Okay. Yeah. I like that one, too. All right.
My number two, I'm going Jimmy Neutron.
Okay.
Nice, all right. Were you a Carl fan?
I love Carl,
yeah. He made that show for me, man.
Oh, he's breaking out his inhaler.
Yeah.
And number one, I have to go SpongeBob.
I like it. All right. So favorite SpongeBob character.
It's hard to beat Patrick.
Patrick is funny. I'm a Mr. Krabs guy.
Are you?
Oh, yeah, dude. I think he's hilarious with how crotchety he is. And it's like, he's funny. And then the fact that he's a crab and his daughter's a whale. How does that science work? I'm here to find out.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Squidward's pretty good, too.
He is.
All right, Sean.
All right, number three. Little obscure. People, like, you have to be, like, a real, like, Nickelodeon nerd. Ah, Real Monsters.
Now, were you a Crumb, or who was the other one? Ickis?
Yep. More of a Crumb.
Crumb guy? Yeah.
But I love that show growing up. Number two. I'm going away from, like, a little bit. The Batman cartoon.
Okay.
Fucking loved the Batman cartoon.
Like the one with Mark Hamill as the Joker?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. Correct. Yeah. And then my number one was one of the reasons like I would wake up and like make sure I was just Recess.
Yeah, Recess was
was a banger. I don't care what anyone says. I feel like that show does not get enough credit for how good it was.
Dude, it wasn't on long enough, man. I think they only did like two seasons of that show, but it was good.
Yeah. Well, the movie was phenomenal, too.
Yeah, the movie was good. The
movie was really good.
I mean, that was like our first introduction into like probably like I don't know, like similar living. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it was just like what you saw on a playground. It was so real.
Yeah.
Like everything that they did.
Yeah. Thing, like. Recess was good for sure.
Hell yeah.
Who's your favorite Recess character?
Oh man.
Dude, I don't even know names.
I know that's something I'm blinking out too. It's been a minute since I've seen
it. Were you a TJ guy?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Character? Yeah.
He always wore a backwards hat. You know, he always had a hat on.
I always liked Mikey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big singer Mikey, guy.
Yeah. Like he was just yeah. But it was one of my favorites always.
The gentle giant.
Oh yeah. Well, DK, this has always been a blast, man. I think that it's always a sad day to see you guys leave. Like the pro circuit and everything, but in the same time, like I'm happy because like you guys are growing up, man. You know what I mean? Like it's part of life moving on, and yeah, like I said, the game will always be here.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always come back to it later, but go live your life for now. Enjoy the new, you know, married life. You're in the honeymoon phase. You know what I mean? Go spend time with your wife and, you know, build that family. And, you know, we'll be here around.
Yeah, man. I always appreciate you guys having me. Always a blast. Cornhole will always be here. And, you know, hopefully sometime in the near future, you know, I can pick it back up.
Hell yeah, brother. All right, so we'll have you hang on just for a minute. We'll let the folks go at home. So just stay tuned. Next week we'll recap all this, the broadcast, all the results. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And as always, we hope you throw it straight. That's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later.